It's June 22nd, 2020. 2020.
What?
Yeah. Wait.
No, it's not.
6/2020. Chris, Todd, I have allergies.
I know. I hear it.
Could you hear it?
I hear it. It sounds
like...
Do you
think the listeners are going to be offended?
No, but it just sounds like you're kind of talking like this.
I'm kind of talking like this. I'm looking outside, and I believe this wind is whipping up lots of pollen, and it's affecting my speech. So let's do this podcast fast. I'm going to let you talk a lot.
Okay, good.
Nobody wants to hear this shit.
I know.
All right?
Ever.
Are allergies a little bit embarrassing during COVID time?
Yeah.
Because you're like, look, I have allergies. I just want you to know I have allergies.
Yeah, it comes with like a precursor. I have allergies. Right?
Okay, I feel great, other than the fact that my head is stuffed. But let's get into this podcast. We've got stuff to talk about.
Just good stuff.
International Surfing Day, skate protest, a big event that went down in Portugal, a surf event. We've got Tony Hawk with a masterclass. So much to talk about. But let's talk about sponsors first. Adventure.io.
Adventure.io, Chris. I got multiple emails.
Oh, yeah.
This week about our big adventure in Waco, Texas.
It's looking good.
I hope your allergies are better before then.
I think they're going to be better this evening. Okay, good. K2 snowboarding. We've got snow news is pretty serious today.
It is?
Oh yeah.
You have something?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Did some research. K2 snowboarding, they've been with us since the jump. We love them. Can't wait to ride again.
The jump?
The jump, like it's kind of, you know, street for the start.
Start of
since the start.
Okay.
Inception.
The jump.
Yeah.
Okay, got
Does
it.
Does Inception start at Inception? Panicking coffee and tea. Panicked. Panicked Coffee and Tea.
I love Panicking Coffee and Tea.
I know you do.
I just came from there.
I was there this morning, early. Chemistry Surfboards?
Yeah. I've been riding mine.
Yeah?
They have this new board called the Daisho. Maybe they'll...
I heard about
it's like a high-performance fish. You can get it in a 20 or 2 plus 1 or a quad setup.
It looks like a very friendly shape.
I think
like anybody could ride it.
It's one of those shapes that, like, if you ride a regular traditional shortboard and you get on that, it'll fuck you up and you won't want to go back on your
because
shortboard.
Because it's fun and it makes surfing easy. I love that. Chemistry Surfboards at Chemistry Surfboards. YouOnline.com. YouOnline. That's our
That's where we live.
That's right. Nanocraft CBD.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I needed it. I did a 7-mile skate this weekend. Boy, was my legs.
Seven
tired.
Miles is a long way to skateboard. We
I think
will
it
talk
was 7
about
mile,
that.
Something like that.
Soon.
Maybe a mile. I don't know. New Greens.
This is the fastest we've ever gone through the sponsors, by
New
the way.
New Greens.
Thank you to New Greens.
Oh, make you feel good inside and out.
I've been, you know, since the hype hasn't been on, you know, the world ending because of a pandemic. I'm going to tell you, I was really on a crazy vitamin kick, like New Greens every day, vitamins.
Yep.
I kind of slacked.
Yeah.
But now I'm back.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thanks.
I'm going to get on it because I got to get rid of this.
You can't get rid of allergies through New Greens.
What do I do?
You can go in a hot shower and steam your nani.
Let's go in the hot shower after this. You show me how to shower to make this happen. Nanocraft CBD.
We got that.
Loving it. Oh, we did it twice. It's
Super 73.
It's that good. Super 73. I wrote it on. I had a date night this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a train. Date night.
Yep.
Went doubles on the Super 73. My lady dressed up looking fine.
Butts,
and so was I.
Butts to nuts or
butts
or
to nuts?
Fronts.
Well, it would be technically
cowgirl.
Not reverse cowgirl.
Not reverse cowgirl.
It would be
traditional cowgirl.
Labia to lower back.
Okay, good.
That's how we ride.
Oh.
And Beneath Apparel. BN3TH at BN3TH. If you didn't support your father's undercarriage.
There's a chance
nut
that you,
bag,
you can support your father by giving him support.
Support him. Get him some underwear that actually make him feel good. It might be Father's Day might be over, but you can always support your dad. Support yourself. Beneath, use the code Monday.
There's no better feeling than a cloth cupping of the boys.
That's right. Surf News is brought to you by Chemistry Surfboards. And Todd, happy International Surfing Day. Did you even know that was this weekend?
Yeah, it was. There was kind of a lot of international days.
Yeah.
So that was on Friday?
I think it was Saturday. Fairly overshadowed by the current events in the world.
And then Sunday was International Skateboard Day.
Go Skateboarding Day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Also, longest day of the year.
What is it called? Summer solstice?
Solstice. Now all the days get shorter.
Yeah, and I put on a sweatsuit, and I just sat on the couch all day. Watched Apocalypse Now. Watched the making of Apocalypse Now.
Feel good movie.
Watched some Top Chef. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Best father. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. That was to you. Yesterday.
That was Sunday.
All the fathers out there. Yeah. Potential fathers. Fathers.
Potential fathers. People that have maybe had sex a couple times.
Maybe.
Hey. And shout out to those of you out there who are not fathers but have sent down the drain of your shower, you know, a scientist, a doctor, a lawyer. They could have been great.
You know, but now they're just chuds.
Right?
Right.
So,
but there's
happy Father's Day to the Chud Fathers. There could be an
incredible society of really, you know, well-functioning Chuds.
What if, let's say, all the masturbatory remnants that went down the drain become a species.
Chuds.
And there's Chuds out there.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Exactly. Happy Father's Day to those fathers of Chuds.
Chris, I'm going to say this right now. Is like I think that Father's Day, like it's traditionally, like Mother's Day is like, you know, you go out of your way to honor moms, right? And there's oftentimes a nice breakfast and maybe like, or you go out to dinner and there's presents.
Right.
Father's Day is kind of like, it's not as good as Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is, you get shout outs to moms. They do everything.
Yeah.
Father's Day is kind of like leave dad alone day.
Yeah. Every time people ask me what I want for Father's Day, I'm like,
leave me alone.
Do nothing. Massage.
Mm-hmm.
A do nothing massage.
Mm-hmm. Is that the opposite of a
to do something massage? That's what mother gets. Well, either way, happy Father's Day. Hopefully Father's Day 2021 is lit.
Yeah.
This is Surf News, and Surf News is quite slim. Waves, at least here, have not been so swell. But I just did watch the Noah Wegrich.
What?
Noah Wegrich part.
Really?
Yes. You say it. Say Noah Wegrich 5 times Noah fast. Go.
Noah Wegrich.
One.
You said four.
You need four
Noah
more times.
Wegrich. Noah Wegrich. Noah Wegrich. You said Wegwitch.
Wegrich. Noah
Baba Wobbles.
I had to actually pronounce this kid's name for a couple of WSL Surf Breaks episodes, and it took me so many times. Noah Wegrich. Waggy is the easy way to pronounce his name. Waggy is a really good surfer, great style, rides all different kinds of boards, Santa Cruz kid. Watch his new edit. It's great.
Very cool. That was
first part of Surf News.
All right.
Frederico Moraes and Teresa Bonvalot have just taken top honors at what we think is the first major post-COVID surfing event in Portugal.
It is.
And they were on stage wearing masks. Wow. For the first time ever. Which is pretty, I mean, wild and telling of this time. Did you read about it? Did you hear about it?
I kind of saw like the little blurbs of it.
Yeah, so there's a MAO kind of tour in Portugal.
But hasn't there been, actually, you know what? I think you may be inaccurate with that. I think there's been, in New Zealand, there was a couple small local contests.
Well, this is like
on the
high level.
On the high level.
If Frederico Moraes and Teresa Bonvalot are winning this, it's a high level event.
Okay.
Because they're high level surfers.
All right.
Taking nothing away from whatever you're talking about.
I'll take your word for it. You host Surf, whatever it's called.
Surf Breaks and World Surf Weekly. Shout out. Both available on worldsurfleague.com.
Shouts.
Do you have any shout outs you want to give?
Shout out to Mark McMorris for doing a better frontside ollie on a surfboard than probably both of us.
I don't lump me into this.
Dude, it's pretty legit.
Just because I don't have the footage. It was a great error.
And it's like,
I knew you were going to have some sting.
Proper pop. Like, it's not sting. I'm just like, wow. I mean, it was like, it looks like they changed the air section to be more friendly.
They did. I talked to our friend Jimmy Wilson, aka Jimmy Kane, who was there when Mark McMorris did that air, and he said the air section is friendlier than before.
Because it used to kick you out, like, unless you were like an air guy.
Right.
It came at you real fast. You didn't really know where it was. It wasn't very predictable. And you either got it good or it shot you into about 3 inches of water.
Yeah. We're talking about Mark McMorris punting a giant air at BSR in Waco. And the reason we bring it up is because Todd's a snowboarder himself,
mm-hmm.
and a surfer, great mm-hmm. surfer at that. Great snowboarder and a great surfer. Wow, thanks, you're better Chris. At snowboarding than surfing. Thank I mean, you. Let's be thanks honest, right?
I don't know about that anymore.
Well, let's talk about, let's just give me your top three surfing snowboarders. Who are the best surfing snowboarders? Snowboarding surfing, being their day job.
Surfing snowboarders?
Yeah.
Dave Downing.
Dave Downing's good.
Kaipo Guerrero,
okay.
Let me see.
You're going like all time best.
Well, you just asked me that.
Yeah.
Like, you mean like pro, like snow, pro snowboard guys?
Pro snowboard guys or high level snowboarders who are also really good at surfing.
Like current or all time?
Let's say, well, all time or current or both.
Scabbers.
Mark Scabs Gabriel.
Yeah, Scabbers.
Well, oh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And then Nathan Fletcher.
And Nathan Fletcher.
Of course. Dave Downing, obviously.
Ian Walsh is a pretty good snowboarder.
Yeah, Walsh,
he's surfer first.
Walsh is really good. But yeah, he's in it. Shane Dorian. Shane's like just as much of a freaking snowboarder. He's yeah. probably more hyped on snowboarding than I am.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of them. But anyways, Mark's was like the ultimate of, he got good really fast.
Yeah.
And it's, spoiler alert, he's dating Coco Ho. So he has access to the best stuff.
The best of
the
best.
Best people. And it shows you
he's got the best people.
It shows you that you could improve super fast. But anyways, getting back, like, it's rad. His yeah. You should go to Mark's Instagram and hit the little heart, like,
shout out to Mark,
because it's good.
Mars.
But so you talked to Jimmy and he said that they did kind of do
tweaked,
something to
it's
it.
It's slightly tweaked. It's better.
Oh, I can't wait.
And on the topic of Jimmy Wilson, he actually just wrote an article for Stab about his dream outline for the championship tour.
I saw
the
it.
US.
Saw
some great it. Ideas in there.
Okay, so give me some ideas.
It's basically seasonal, which mm-hmm. and I know the WSL has put some of these ideas in motion already. But I think Jimmy has taken a, you know, he's always loved, you know, football and mainstream sports like
yes,
that.
Yep.
So he's kind of taking some of those sensibilities, applying them to championship tour. And I'm pulling up this thing right here, and it is, I cannot find it.
Mm.
It's on Stab. We should call Jimmy.
You think he'll answer?
He said he wants to.
He wants to answer?
Yes.
Okay, I'll call him right now.
Call him up.
Okay, you just talk. Talk now.
Nobody wants to hear me talk.
Yes, they do.
Oh, I guess if they're tuning into this, they might.
It's going to take me a second to get him on the phone, so you better
talk. I'm talking.
Something.
While you're doing that, the new van Surf Doc Breaking Boundaries, which focuses on Trinidad and Tobago, Board Drive, the Positive Vibe Warriors, the Gooding Bros. It's on the van's YouTube tonight. It's going to be a great flick. Yep, there he is.
Hi, is Jimmy there?
Let me guess. Am I on the mask?
You yeah. are. So tell us all about your thing. You want to reinvent surfing.
I love how I have no idea you guys are going to call me about this.
It's well, you, Chris.
I did talk. We did talk about it. I did not warn you though. Okay. We like to pop up call people.
We just
sometimes.
we want to just kind of get into it because it's number one. It sounds cool. I read your thing, your rant.
It's an article.
It's an article.
It's not
whatever
a rant.
You want to call
it's
it.
An article.
It's very
okay.
It's very. It has a lot of really valid points. I think it's great.
It's great.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Wait.
I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately. But as long as we got the word out there that this is an idea, maybe at some point in the future it can happen, or they take some things from that and make it into a reality.
Well, I think a lot of people obviously have ideas for what could make this better. But I love that you took the time to really go and dig into this blueprint, right? So give us all your top 3 points that if you had a dream come true and the WSL just said, Jimmy, you get 3 things we're going to do. What would be the main 3 points that you would put into action for an updated 2021 CT and QS year/season? What would those top 3 things be?
Okay, so the first thing, I would not do it in 2021 because I think the people who qualified for this year and didn't get a chance, they deserve their year chance. So I think you have to do a year transition. So that would be number one. But the ultimate goal of this thing is to get better waves. And you cannot do that if you have a two-week waiting period. It's just not possible. So if you want to score every CT event, you have to do a strike trip. You have to be able to finish an event in 1 or 2 days max. And unfortunately, you have to cut the numbers to do that. I don't want to cut the numbers, cut careers, whatever, but that's the only way of doing it. So,
but people can still have a career in the B league, let's say. You can still have a long career on the QS.
Well, yeah, the QS has, right now, you cannot have a career on the QS. It's a total write off. You're lost on the QS. But when you separate the seasons, which is, I guess, would be my second point here, and I've been talking about that for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. When you separate the seasons and the QS no longer lives in the shadows of the CT and it can stand alone as its own really cool surfing competition series, now you have a place for all those insane surfers around the world to showcase what they can do. They're going to be in good waves. But the CT is the top 16 people in the CT. That's a literal championship tour. That's to decide the world title. And if you're not in the top 16, I'm sorry, but you don't have a chance at the world title. You're really just a person that's on tour that's trying to, you know, do your best and maybe do good in some events.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you could, once you get to a certain cutoff point, then, you know, you dislodge the back of the rocket ship, and then the cone continues on forward to the best possible, you know, superstar.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of just being able to really focus on 1 or 2 days of competition. Watching a surf event for 5 days straight or 5 days randomly throughout a two-week period is... it's kind of a lot to unpack. So the idea of really focusing, highlighting the focus of these events on the best surfers in the world, potentially in the best waves possible, I love that idea.
I agree. It's like some of the best events that I've ever watched have been the ones where the swell is on point and it happens in two, like the last Karamas one where it just went off, you know, and it was literally like a two full days. And it was over. You know, it's just boom, boom. I think that's pretty rad.
Yeah, you want it to end on the final. You want the finals day to be the best day too, right? You don't want it to be like the first day of the contest where people aren't losing or something, and it's just almost a glorified practice, which that needs to go. In my opinion, that's needed to go for a long time. But, I mean, the contest we can all think about is I can't remember the year, but the Tahiti year. The year where it was just as good as waves get.
Slater, John, Medina, John, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kelly versus John, Semi. Like, that is what I have in mind when I think of making these CT events down to 16 people. And the other thing is you're bringing the women along. So right away, you're going to have to they're going to have to elevate their performance. The women, like, they've a little bit been, I don't want to say, like, they've been catered to in a sense where they haven't made the women surf when it's hardcore conditions. There was a time at Kira a few years ago that year Julian won, and who won the women's? Was it Lakey? I believe it was Lakey. They were questioning even sending the women out that day, and they were talking about having them surf the next day. Like, that stuff's not going to be able to happen anymore. The women will
send it. Make them send it.
I think they want it anyways. I think it's like, is that just, you know, people in the athlete representation trying to reduce liability or something? I mean, like, it seems to me that the level of the women is at, it's, there is no.
Oh, they'll go.
They'll freaking go.
I think they'll go.
Yeah, the level is high, but I think a lot of them want to go. I think it's a split decision. Some of them are a little bit more hesitant. You know that they're going to be scared of big Tahiti, as anyone would be. But there are certain ones, you know, like Caroline, for instance. I know Tyler Wright absolutely charges. Carissa will go. A lot of the girls will go, but they haven't pushed themselves enough because they haven't needed to.
Mm-hmm.
This tour, would you'd probably see the women progress faster than ever before if this was the case. So.
Well, I love that you took the time to outline this, and it's a work in progress.
More importantly, Jimmy, while I have you on the phone, they tweaked the air section at Waco.
Oh, yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, so I just got back from there.
It's more friendly?
I mean, it's always pretty friendly.
Well, it was weird before. Like, it was hard to, like, read it. And from what I've heard from other people that have been there in the past couple of weeks is that it's a lot easier to see it coming now, kind of like if you were in the ocean and you can kind of see a section coming at you.
Didn't get any attempts at it this time,
okay.
So I can't tell you from experience, unfortunately, but you're right. It is a lot harder to time it when you've never surfed it before than you would timing an air section in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did is they spaced out the waves. I want to say it was like they're running one wave every 30 seconds or so, whereas they're not doing that two-wave set that they were doing. I guess it eroded the beach some.
Ah, got it. Oh, okay.
The beach erosion. Was getting eroded, guys, so. All
right. Well, now we know.
Sweet. All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Jimmy, we'll see you later.
Check out Jimmy's article. Right, it's up now. Bye. It's on stabbag.com. Stabbag.
But about that?
It's on Stabbag.
It's on stabbag.com.
Thank you, Jimmy, for that. You got any more surf news, Todd?
I'm fresh out.
I like when people don't just complain about things. They actually come up with ideas to make things better.
In surfing, I feel like the last time that we had any kind of a shakeup in competition format was when Brad Gerlach introduced the game. Like, real shakeup.
No. Priority. Okay. The priority system come into play.
Yeah, priorities. You're right. You're right.
More of a... I obviously, I work for and with the WSL, mm-hmm. but
I'm real
we can say whatever we want. I'm saying progression is a huge...
That's judging, though. That's like...
Judging has improved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been things. I think the biggest thing was priority. And, you know, the Dream Tour has taken so many different turns and different looks
mm-hmm.
that I think everyone's just going to be very excited when contests come back.
And anything.
That's the big question.
I found myself the other day, I was just, I don't know how I went down some weird rabbit hole, but I was just watching old WSL footage. Oh, you know what it was?
WSL Rewind.
I went and I was looking for that Dane Reynolds one turn 10 from Puerto Rico 9 years ago.
Oh, the Rip Curl Search.
The Rip Curl Search
Pro
in
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. I was looking for that one turn. And then next thing you know, I'm watching heats.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching heats from like, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to see, you know, blah, blah, blah. Felipe Toledo surfing some really small waves somewhere.
To get psyched
and know what I'm the opposite. And next thing you know, I'm just listening to Joe and I'm, you know.
You're back in the zone.
I was. And I just remembered how it's very comforting. Like,
It's meditational, really.
It is meditational.
Because you can have the contest on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something happening, you know, if their voices get raised or whatever, you go, oh, what's happening?
It's just familiar to hear, yourself and Blakey and like all these people that you just are like, I don't know, you're just so used to having.
It's normalcy.
It is
comforting.
Things. Anyways.
I want Joe and Ronnie's voices just like a blanket around my nude body.
I think Joe could do really well on Cameo. You know that app where you like.
He's
you,
on it. He's he been is? On it. Yeah.
Does he leave like people like
I
excited
know.
Messages?
I don't know.
There's a 10! Yeah! Tether color bar!
Have you ever been approached by Cameo to be on Cameo?
I tried to get into it. Like, actually, I signed up to do it.
I signed up for it.
And but like, I don't. What am I going
to
say?
I would pay to have you give
really?
Me a compliment.
Like, leave you a voicemail?
Like, you and maybe The Rock.
How do you know?
Chuck Norris.
How do you know what you're supposed to do?
You get the message like, oh, this is a message.
This is what they want. This is what they want you to say.
Hey, this is for Todd Richards. I just want to tell you, happy birthday, little buddy. Keep trying.
But like,
surfing's gonna happen, bro.
Can you like leave? Can you be like, tell the people to leave your outgoing message on your answer machine?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have Huey Lewis.
That's
not the news.
That's not from Cameo.
It's not from Cameo.
How did you get him to do that?
Friend of a friend.
And then you also had
Chris Cantori from youonline.com got it
Who was the other one you had on there?
Eddie Money.
Eddie Money.
May he rest in peace.
I can't. Did you say that?
I know it was an old phone.
Fuck.
Who would be your dream message leaver
now? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, I'd like you to leave a message.
Hey, this is Arnold.
Hello.
What if you had Barack Obama?
Is this thing on?
Hello, this is Barack Obama. You've reached Todd Richards' phone. That would be pretty incredible.
It would be. I don't think it's as impactful for me.
But it has to be something funny, I would think.
Yeah, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger would be a great person to leave a voicemail message.
Would David Lee Roth would be great.
Or just someone that's just so loose and weird. Maybe the guy, what's the guy's name? Hi, Mark. That guy like did the crazy movie where he tried to make the movie and the movie came out all fucked up. What's that guy's name? He's like a legend in Hollywood. I freaking forget. The disaster artist guy.
Oh,
what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
My brain is completely...
That's pretty niche.
Yeah, it's niche. But like, see, that's what I am. I'm a niche guy.
Well, speaking of niche guys, mm-hmm. Do you want to learn how to skate better?
Obviously. Is this skate news?
Skate news is brought to you by Adventure.io.
There you go.
Adventure.io. Get the app. You're blowing it if you don't have it.
Don't get blown.
Or?
Do.
The streaming platform Masterclass makes it possible for anyone to learn from the best. And if you want to learn from the best of the best in skateboarding, why not learn from Tony Hawk?
Mm-hmm.
Tony Hawk is now teaching a masterclass in skateboarding.
I saw on his Instagram that he had to relearn frontside 180 heel flips to teach someone frontside 180 heel flips.
And he did it so easy.
I've never done
that trick.
Frontside 180 heel flip?
No. I don't think so. What? No, I have. On a bank.
Hmm.
But that's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
You can get, acting classes from, Robert De Niro.
And, really?
Yeah.
From Robert De Niro.
Masterclass does a bunch of stuff like that.
What else? We could podcast classes from us.
Yeah. People want to learn from the masters. Todd,
mm-hmm.
I was protesting this weekend. Mm. I'm trying to toot my own horn. But I was a protest. I went to the... Rolling for Rights skate protest downtown San Diego on Saturday. Best experience.
How many people you think?
I mean, three or 4,000.
That's insane.
Endless stream of skateboarders, peaceful, positive. It was just a beautiful display of powerful, peaceful protest. People were, all different kinds of boards, all different kinds of people, roller skates, the whole, it was just, for me, it's a balance, right? I don't want to show up at one of these things and got my Instagram photo, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to experience it and see what it was like. And I wanted to be part of this moment. And it was, I was like almost crying. It was just.
How many miles was it? I saw that you stopped once and turned around and just felt
coming
at you. How many miles of actual pushing was it?
A couple miles.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it was downhill. It was so cool. That made it too. That made it so fun because everybody starts bombing this hill. People are like slamming around me, but not hard because it wasn't like a steep, super steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was like fun slams, I guess. But. Just the togetherness, the unity displayed. Skateboarders seem to do it right. And nobody was an asshole.
I didn't hear one negative thing about that.
And nothing negative came through from the dozens of skate protests around the country. New York, Denver. I mean, Encinitas.
There was one here in Encinitas
yesterday.
Although I did hear that people drove by and were flipping them off.
Well, that's...
You will always have that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did it...
In terms of the actual people skating in peaceful protest and solidarity for unity and for racial equality,
mm-hmm.
and basically for love, was you saw these images coming from everywhere, and even we saw little five people just skating together, like this is our Rolling for Rights protest
in cool.
Wherever Detroit, and so skateboarders showed up this weekend. They made their voices heard. And visually, it was just, it's a beautiful thing to see.
And it's worth noting again that I think skateboarding is probably one of the only sports that it doesn't matter financial backgrounds, color of your skin, what country you come from. It is the great equalizer.
Agreed. So thank you, skateboarders, for making this weekend awesome and memorable. These images are going to live on. Yeah, it's very inspiring. This is sad, actually, sad news. Elaine Shallcross.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, 68-year-old woman diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018 decided she was going to raise money for breast cancer research by learning to do a shove it on a skateboard. And remind you, she has never stepped on a skateboard before. She took to Instagram, posting videos, hashtag shove it cancer. It spread quick. You had like Tony Hawk, Steve Cowell. I mean, everybody was posting their videos of shove it cancer. Unfortunately, sadly, she passed away. But just by her taking to her social media and putting this out there, I mean, she raised a ton of money. She spread a beautiful message.
Made impact. It was great. It is sad to see, but it's also, you know, that was the goal for her, was to get the message out there.
The awareness.
On a more positive.
She's a hero.
What? Yeah, absolutely. On a more positive note, uplifting note.
Yeah.
Completely changing gears.
Yeah.
Skate 4 has been announced.
Oh my gosh. That brings us to the video game section.
No. What? Yeah. Do you have more in video game news?
Yeah.
Skate
4 is EA Sports. Like that's the big dog.
That's the... Well, I don't know. Well, Tony's is always... That's the godfather.
Well, that's... Yeah. So Tony Hawk Pro Skater, in my opinion, the GOAT skate games.
Right. Well, I would look at it this way. Tony Hawk Pro Skater is the fantasy game.
Right.
Skate is a sim.
More realistic. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Harder to play.
Yeah. But once you figure it out...
Okay.
Oftentimes considered to be superior model. Anyways, so they announced it's not coming out for a little bit. They are deep in the development process of it, but I can't wait. I played the living shit out of Skate 1, 2, and 3.
I have 3, ES Skate 3.
It's really good.
But listen to this, Todd. Skater XL is coming to Xbox and PlayStation. And that's supposedly coming July 28th.
It's not a full title. It's like a cheap downloadable.
I don't know.
I don't think it's a full title.
But like, also, there's a game called Session. Have you heard of this?
No.
Session is a new skate game that's coming out on Xbox Game Preview. What is that?
That's like an app game. It's not like a full, what do they call them?
Console game.
It's a console game, but there's different tiers of when you make games. There's like the fully funded, big budget.
All in.
Yeah. So like Tony's game, which is, you know, originally would be a big budget. Skate 4 will be a big budget.
Yeah.
But some of these other ones are small independent studios that don't spend as much money. And you can tell they're not as deep.
Right.
But then again, that first...
But they could be constantly building.
Yeah. And that first Tony Hawk Pro Skater demo disc was the one that I played. Oh, probably my God. Even
with
more.
With 3 levels, right?
Yeah, probably even more than I played the actual disc.
Me too. So, Session is coming out, or is out now.
How come we can't get a freaking surf game again?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remix coming. So, a lot of skate games dropping soon.
I will say that there's a big door open for, like, with the current power that these consoles have.
Surf game.
Like, why isn't there another surf game?
Well, the short answer there, from what I gather from my experience with Transworld Surf, is they're too hard to make for the return on the investment.
I don't know.
There's just not enough surfers out there that are going to buy the game.
There's so many surf boners out there that would buy a
Maybe
game.
Maybe now. This was, 10 years ago when we did Transworld Surf. So maybe now.
The technology's there. It's probably cheaper to animate waves at this point and make them look better.
I think the people behind these video game companies are only seeing this as a coastal thing. Well, only people in the coasts are going to buy this game. But I think that's bullshit. We need a surf game now.
A lot of people buy freaking Bahama shorts.
Do you play True Surf on the phone?
I don't.
It's pretty tough.
Gaming involves zombies, shotguns usually.
Okay.
A well-crafted story about... sorrow.
Right.
Redemption.
Love lost.
Love lost.
An erotic journey from Minsk to Munich.
Right. It's like a trashy novel.
Rochelle.
Oh, yeah.
Style video games. To put a bow on skate news, Andale Bearings has put their pride on the line to help raise money for LGBTQ youth in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And they are putting out a collection.
That's Jory Brzezinski's bearing.
I believe brand, so. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And LA LGBT Center.org. So if you buy some on delay bearings, you're raising money for LGBT Center.
Oh, that's awesome.
In LA.
That's killer.
Yeah, very cool. So that's skate news.
Okay.
We're just going to kind of like blow through this Monday Mass. There's cool stuff happening, but we
Chris has allergies and he's only putting in 60% of the effort today.
I'm going 58 to 70%.
Let's lead snow news brought to you by K2 Snowboards.
Snowboarding, yep.
With the big news that the North Face is the first brand to pull out of Facebook.
I heard about this.
They are officially leaving Facebook. The question to me is, if they're leaving Facebook, are they leaving Instagram? Because are you really leaving Facebook if you don't leave Instagram?
You have to have Facebook to have Instagram, right?
No. Do you?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure you do. Because Facebook bought Instagram.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. I just wonder, like when a brand says they're leaving Facebook, because Facebook has kind of, let's be honest, become
a shithole.
A shithole.
A shithole country.
That's where your mom goes to, you know, I don't know. I don't even think my mom goes there. I don't think she ever went there. But anyways, that's where you go to find your racist friends from high school.
Right.
But I don't think it's a statement. I mean, maybe a brand like North Face sees a lot of return from going on Facebook, but it'd be really interesting to see that if it's not a publicity stunt just to say they're leaving Facebook, but they don't really leave Instagram.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all in, go all in.
Go all in. Well, I like it.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Look, I do not like Facebook, but the problem is I use it for self-promotion.
Yes.
Like, look at me.
You're a self-promoter.
Buy my shit. Listen to my podcast.
I don't put anything on Facebook except for like old pictures of skateboarding.
That's good. It's positive. So some wild things happening in snowboarding news. Todd, we actually got some accolades for our handling of the Nicholas Mueller controversy. And to follow up on that, if you really want to dig.
Sorry, hold on 1 second.
What?
North Face has not left Instagram.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, Facebook owns Instagram, so by being on Instagram, you're still supporting Facebook, technically.
Right. So if you're going to do
it. But you know what? It's a statement.
It is a statement.
And I applaud them for that.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
North Face makes ratchet.
They do make really good stuff.
I would wear North Face all the time.
Right.
The new episode of Last Resort with Stan Lavelle.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Our man Stan.
Levier.
Our man Stan.
Yeah.
Is really powerful. His words
Lavalier.
Are meaningful. He's talking about Nicholas Mueller. He's talking about other writers using their platforms to promote messages of conspiracy theories. It's the pros and conspiracy edition of Last Resort with Stan. I love Stan even more after this episode. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it. And actually, I talked to Stan after we dropped our episode and we kind of talked about it.
We're pioneers.
Yeah, whatever you want to say. I mean, Stan and I talk kind of a lot. And I texted him and said, we went for it on Monday Mass. And he was like, oh shit, I was just on a 30-minute conference call with Snowboarder. Like, how do we address this? And it shouldn't be a sticky situation, but it really is really hard for a lot of people to just say something without, you know, without being scared that they're going to freaking get, you know, have their get hit in the wallet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, frankly, we don't give a shit because we don't give a shit and we try to be.
But it's also not jumping on a mob mentality bandwagon, right? You got to like know a little bit before you, because I've done it before in the past where a picture or something comes up and you're like, no, fuck this. Fuck this guy. And then you get more of the details and you're like, ooh.
I recently just watched a Joe Rogan podcast with
Laird Hamilton.
Bill Burr.
Oh, right.
And he, you know, they were talking about how there was that, you know, look, you got CNN on one side, you got Fox News on the other side. They're both the same fucking thing at this point. Like it's insanity, left, right, insanity.
Yeah.
And there was that video of the kid with the Native American beating the drum in his face with the MAGA hat on in Washington.
Yeah.
And immediately the media jumped on that from the left side and was like, this kid got in the guy's face, but then you find out that the other guy got in the kid's face, and the kid just freaking stood there. So yeah. It's like
that might have been the exact case I was talking.
Yeah,
about.
It's manipulation of point of view, and I think that's, you know, I don't know what I was saying, but anyways, it's that, like, you jump to conclusions. Yeah. On things. So yeah, you're right. You do have to kind of take your time. And
I'm a bit of a lefty snowflake, but I will say I trust NPR. I trust what NPR says in their news broadcasts. And, you know, you kind of you have to just pick, right? Like
you can pick and choose.
You can take, if you try to take in all the information, you will lose your mind. You will go insane.
I just go to Reddit for all my news.
Yeah, that's good. I go to the dark web for that kind of stuff.
That's where I get my real news.
For turtle soup, for shark soup, wow. For illicit stuff, you know, the real stuff, the Silk Road type stuff.
You have to pick and choose, and you have to kind of go down the middle, and you have to, like, yeah. It's hard to weed out the sensationalized, you know, clickbait.
And once people pick a side, you're not going to have a lot of Fox News people just up and switching. Or CNN people just up and switching. Mm-mm. So,
anyway, it was good to see those guys take their time.
Yeah,
and
you're back to Stan. Yeah,
right. I'm just snowboarding. I'm trying to bring it back around. So, but I just think that Stan did a really good job of addressing it. And, you know, there's been a lot of people making the analogies of, like, you know, Stan said it in terms of his mom having breast cancer, and, like, it's if the doctor came and, you know.
All cancers matter.
So yeah. Whatever. It does make sense, and it's so weird that people can't say that. Like, even the freaking vice president the other day couldn't fucking say it. Like, why? How hard is it?
Right.
How hard is it to put a spotlight on something that's a problem?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, I think the crux of it is, and this has been said so many times, is the Black Lives Matter movement. Is not saying that all lives don't matter. Yeah. It's just saying, look, we need to focus a little bit right now because this part of our world, these people.
Stop politicizing fucking everything.
Just now we're doing it. Okay, let's get back to it. This is some good news right here.
Okay,
Tyler Davis has penned a new series, Amplifying the Experience of Black Snowboarders. It's called Elevating Voices. That's on Snowboarder Mag. Also, The Bomb Hole had Stevie Bell on.
That was, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it yet. I have it queued up. I'm ready. But for context, I'm a Stevie Bell fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about him. I've watched his parts, the foreign parts, and the dude is gnarly. But you tell us, okay? Stevie Bell, what does he mean to snowboarding, and why should we listen to this episode of Bomb Hole with Stevie
Bell? It's a really cool perspective of, never mind the fact that, you know, Stevie was part of the Forum team in, you know, its second, I think the second generation of talent, which is, the Forum has always been one of the places where you have to show up and blow up,
yeah,
basically, to get on the team. And it's just listening to Stevie's, you know, journey as an African-American snowboarder.
Yeah,
and I
heard it's hilarious.
Stevie's hilarious, yeah. In general. Like, he's really funny dude, super positive to be around, and he's just like one of those people that you meet and you don't really know him, but you all of a sudden like best friends.
Yeah,
like 5 minutes later, he's one of those humans. It's just everything the Bomb Hole podcast has put out so far has been on fire.
Yeah,
I am agree. A massive fan. I cannot freaking wait to sit down with those goons.
Yeah.
But
well, have you been invited?
Yeah, but it's like they're in Salt Lake City.
Oh, right. That's a long drive to be on a podcast, really, but yeah. You should do it.
But anyway, so getting back to what you were saying is Stevie's, you know, Stevie got on Forum probably 2007, 2008, maybe.
Before that, he was on Tech Nine.
He was on Tech Nine, but he was, you know, he finally got put on Forum, and he kind of talks about having to get on a snowboard team that already has. It's basically like Plan B was in their heyday. Like, if you were on Plan B, that was the best team, kind of like girl.
No matter what, when you're getting on, you're on the bench.
Yeah, you're on the bench and you're the starter. You can't just.
You got to work for it.
You got to work. And talks about him having to, like, show up at rails or show up at jumps and do shit that he'd never done before just because he felt like he, like, talk about having to, like, perform in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for anybody to step to that and to tell a story of basically you want the dream so bad that you make yourself believe that you're capable of anything.
Yeah.
I think that people don't talk about that enough. Like having Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
You know, and not really taking into consideration what could happen to you, but like,
yeah,
just really,
I'm a more of a worst case scenario type.
I think that happens person. As you get older. Like you're like, well, if I fall here, then I can't do this.
And then
next
I won't
week,
be then, able to skateboard for 6 months. And then blah,
can
blah.
I drive a car with my lips only? I don't know, but it's really cool. Like I said, the Bomb Hole podcast has been great. And Snowboarder, putting the spotlight on, black snowboarders over the years.
Yeah.
Is a freaking awesome.
It's great. It's a, you know, for a sport that historically lacks inclusion,
it's been a white privileged sport, and unfortunately, it's still going in that direction. And I think that there's been a lot of attention brought to the fact that ski area prices, and this is just recently,
yeah,
like, as things have been evolving with the BLM movement and things, is that the prices at ski areas are, it's cost too much money to snowboard.
Yeah.
And if you are an underprivileged or come from someplace without means, you are not going to experience that sport. And it's at what point do the ski areas, are they making enough fucking money?
Yeah.
Like, because they sell all these Epic passes. They, you know, parking is freaking, there's nowhere where you can go anymore that doesn't have parking that costs like $1 million. So, and the hamburger, like a
hamburger is $25.
Burger, fries and a Coke is $50. Like, when are you guys making enough money? Let's give a little bit back and increase the new generation of visitors.
Yeah.
And just stop with the fucking greed.
Yeah. And I think that by putting...
And they are.
By
and
focusing
I should
and
say,
showing, putting the spotlight on all different types of snowboarders, mm-hmm. from all different types of backgrounds, you know, it's that old adage, like, oh, if one kid is reached, right? Well, what if that next kid, yeah. that sees Stevie Bell on the totally. Bomb Hole or reads Tyler Davis's thing goes, well, I want to do this. You know, snowboarding's Tiger Woods is out there.
I'll tell you what.
The next big thing is living in Compton.
There's a big thing to, like, you know, that person looks like me. I can do that too.
Yeah.
It's like Mark Frank Montoya, you know, being one of the legends of the sport. Not a lot of Hispanic snowboarders were in the pro ranks at that point. And Marco came in and just shattered the stereotypes. And I think that that's what snowboarding has always been about. That's what skating has always been about. And if we get to the point now where we do make a difference, and I think that, you know, shout out to Desiree Melancon. She called out the ski areas and she got responses from them. Like, what are you guys going to do? What can we do here now that the spotlight is on this? How can we make this happen? And, you know, the skiers were responding, like Boreal and Tahoe, and they talk about how they are doing an outreach to have more, bring more and more people into the sport and to make it affordable for people that don't come from means to actually do it.
Yeah.
Snowbird said, like, they've all kind of come into this thing. And I think that something really cool is going to come out of this. And if I can do anything to help that, I'm on board, 100%.
Yeah, well, just by talking about you doing something. And if you think about... A lot of people would say, well, you know, these snowboard places are in affluent areas, and this is not even a color thing. It's just a financial thing.
Not
well,
all of them.
But if think about this. I've been to, and I know you have, the hood of Denver, mm-hmm. right? And that is very close to where the ski resorts are, Salt Lake City. I mean, there are hoods. There are low-income areas surrounding all these ski resorts. And it's an hour... by car.
Mm-hmm.
So or the like outreach back, is right there.
Back east, it's different. You know, back east, you've got in Massachusetts, there's several ski areas that are closer to the metropolitan areas. Then you've got New York, you have Hunter Mountain, you've got Vernon in New Jersey. Like there's places that can pull from a metropolitan, very culturally diverse area.
Yeah.
And fuck it. Let's get more people on the hill. I'm really overseeing really snobby people complain about lift lines and shit. I want to bring it back to like having a big melting pot on the hill.
I'm with you. And so Snowboarder actually has a list of organizations that are helping.
Mm-hmm.
And you check out snowboarder.com. Anything else for snow news?
Trying to think.
We covered a lot of it. If you want to watch Dutour's big snow show, we did that last Friday, the Friday before last.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
It was fun.
And we're going to do it again this Friday. I don't know what it's going to be about, but it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. We got to do another one of those.
Nerd News is brought to you by Panic and Coffee and Tea.
Oof. You have some nerd news?
I have two great movie recommendations.
Okay.
Because that's been the talk of the last 4 months. What are you watching? Right?
I guess movie theaters have opened again.
That's what I've heard.
Who the fuck? Like, it's really weird that there hasn't been a new... Like, there's got to be theater. I mean,
blockbuster movie. Like, no, what is the big movie? Yeah,
like they're typically by now you would have had a bunch of blockbusters pop. I don't even remember what was supposed to come out this summer as like big blockbusters, but there ain't shit.
Well, I've got two movies for you to watch, and they're on Netflix and Amazon, I believe. I'm No Longer Here is an incredible movie recommended by my friends Jesse and Sarah Dauber. And this it's not a documentary. It feels like a documentary. It covers this subculture of street kids in Monterrey, Mexico, and their dance crew.
Oh,
like a dance gang. It is so beautiful. The soundtrack. I mean, I love the fashion. I love everything about this movie. It's got subtitles, but trust me, you can get through it if you're not a subtitle person. The other one is a send-up of Instagram culture. It's called Ingrid Goes West.
What?
This was recommended by
on
my
Netflix?
Friend Darren and Ben.
Netflix.
Ingrid Goes West is Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
I'm No Longer Here is Netflix. Ingrid Goes West is kind of like Single White Female for the modern influencer generation.
Yeesh.
A send-up of Venice, a send-up of Instagram culture, a send-up of influencer culture. It is brilliant. It is scary. It is makes you nervous.
Good. Does it make you grossed out?
Yeah, because you can't decide who you are. Are you the psycho stalker Instagram like button smasher, or are you the fake influencer who's displaying this perfect life while your life is very imperfect?
Have you seen? Do you follow influencers in the wild?
Oh yeah,
it's the best freaking Instagram account. Please @ influencers in the wild.
And if I ever wind up on there, I'm sorry, because I'm prone to influence attempts.
Do you influence? Do you do weird?
I just posed in I got a Billabong Dr. Seuss sweatsuit, and I was like, I love this thing. I love sweatsuits. And so they sent it to me.
Right.
And I was like, I'll post this thing. And I posted it up, and I was posing in front of some plants. I was fully an influencer, not in the wild,
because
I was in my own home. But it's just as bad is anybody else posting their shit. But it was, you know, Sunday is Father's Day. I'm in my full sweatsuit, and I was feeling it.
Okay.
What'd you think of... So, yeah, they built... And Dr. Seuss liked it.
What do you mean, by the way.
Dr. Seuss liked it.
Like Dr. Seuss Instagram?
Whoever runs Dr. Seuss Instagram.
Dr. Seuss.
But I just like to think Dr. Seuss liked my picture, and that makes it worth it for me.
Hmm.
Do you like the TikTok Teens Tank Trump rally?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So that really went down? Like, they basically bought all the tickets?
I believe so.
That's hilarious.
But you want to hear some actual news of importance.
Does it involve nerds?
There's a petition on change.org to rename the capital of Ohio, which is Columbus, to Flavortown. And I like this. Guy Fieri.
Yeah, boy! Flavor Flav?
A hero. Guy Fieri has raised millions of dollars for restaurant workers. He's fed millions of people around. Guy Fieri, who I started off disliking.
The fire.
Purely because of his haircut.
Yeah.
Because of his shirts and his hat. But I love him. And I think that Columbus should be changed to Flavortown, Ohio. He was born there. Christopher Columbus, as we all know by now, is an absolute savage.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the good way. So, fuck it. Flavortown, let's go. I will buy a ticket to Flavortown. So, I'm signing the petition, Todd.
Flavortown, USA.
Let's go. That's all I have for nerd news.
I started The Last of Us 2.
Oh, that's a video game?
Mm-hmm. It's heavy.
And?
Heavy as fuck.
Is it a zombie game?
Sort of.
Zombie is a hard word to say when you have allergies.
Zombie.
Zombie. we go.
I think...
I have some questions.
Yeah, well, let's get to those because I have some too.
Questions are brought to you by Beneath Apparel, BN3TH, at BN3TH, at BN3TH. The best underpants. Come on. Get that code Monday. I got a question from Dan.
Dan?
Dan.
Okay.
DC Carter underscore says, question. Oh, this is perfect timing, Dan.
Okay,
question.
Go ahead.
Should I buy Last of Us 2?
Yes.
Even though I'm a complete wuss and playing dread tension games like Last of Us, Resident Evil, makes me so tense I can't even play them if I'm alone.
Yes.
He's never played TLOU 1.
He's never played The Last of Us 1?
No.
Dan, the hell is wrong with you? Okay, so here's...
Well, no, he's asking.
I know.
Should
he play it? Yes, you should. But you should play The Last of Us 1 first. Or it's like coming in and starting Star Wars at Empire Strikes Back and trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Here's I'm just
can
gonna
you imagine.
Here's a little onion peel back on my nerdism from this weekend. So I started this game, and you know my wife she's very tolerant of me being
a middle-aged man
playing video games. And
honey,
I walked out of the garage and I was a little freaked out because it's like, it kind of like...
It's scary.
Not scary. It's just, it's more than like playing a game. It's like watching...
Immersion?
No, it's like being emotionally invested like you would be in like Game of Thrones or Westworld or any of these series.
But you're controlling it.
But the story is so good that you are emotionally invested in these characters the same way you would be if you watched a show like that.
Put the onion back together. Is the game... Just hold on 1 second so I can picture this. Is this a first-person shooter?
No, third person. So you can see the person walking around.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't interrupt.
So if you play Last of Us 1, there's a very heavy story that is involved in Last of Us 1, and then it continues on Last of Us 2, and Last of Us 2 has the twists and turns that Last of Us 1 does. So I come out of the room, and my wife is like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I said, look, I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to sound really stupid, but I just need you to hear me and pretend that I'm not talking to you about a video game.
Okay.
And I explained to her the plot. I explained to her all the beats coming up to where I am now, and she's like, holy shit, that sounds really like a good thing. And I said, funny you should say that. HBO has picked up The Last of Us to do a series.
Wow.
So The Last of Us will be coming to HBO. It's pre-production right now, but it will be a series on HBO. The story is that good. Off a video game. Because the whole point of like Naughty Dog's whole thing has always been about... not first person, but immersive stories told in third person. So, Dan, to answer your question, you absolutely need to play Last of Us 1 first.
Okay.
And then you can drop into Last of Us 2, and it's just to take away the whole part about it being a video game. If it was a movie or if it was a TV show, you'd be like, holy fuck, did you see Last of Us 2 last week?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, you are, you're a nerd.
But I'm a nerd.
I got a question from Monir Ait Belkacem from Algeria.
Okay.
I'm getting messages from my friends in Algeria.
Oh,
so
I get
just
mine from
chill.
Down the street.
I'm a big fan of your surfing and WSL commentating. Thank you, Monir.
Hold on.
I saw you on some photos, then you were wearing prescription glasses. I personally suffer myopia, which does affect my surfing. Do you wear eye contacts when you surf? Appreciate your feedback. Many thanks. Monir, surfer from Algeria.
Legit question.
I do not wear contacts or glasses when I surf or skate, and I don't know if it's just because I got used to that. I've never been able to put contacts in. I'm just a baby about that.
But, I mean, do you feel like that you're...
I've tried to skate with glasses. It doesn't work for me.
But at the same time, do you feel like that you are... you're basically making your level less than it could be.
I'm pretty much partially blind.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that bad.
I have a physical disability, Todd. Yeah.
Are you nearsighted or farsighted?
I'm fucked. One eye works great, the other works horrible.
Like
Like, if I don't have my glasses, I could not read my computer. I could not read my phone.
But you can. But when you're in the water,
but if I was lost in nature,
so how
I could
do you
survive.
Read? How do you read sections in the water?
I read the emotion of the wave. I read the water. Todd,
but how? Like this is a, this
with
is
my
a,
heart.
But this is really interesting. Like, and I think this is this, you know, is worth talking about. Like how
I
most
don't
people
know.
When
I'm
they
just
see,
used to it by now.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's it. So you are looking at shapes in the water. Those shapes may not be the same shapes that I see because your eyeballs are fucked.
Like I can see pretty good with my glasses off. It's
like,
just
what
if
do
I'm
mean?
Trying to read, I can't read. So if you flash something written on your surfboard mm-hmm. at me in the water,
I can't
read it. So but if you say something to me and I see you, I can see your face. I know you. I feel you. I read you. I love you. So no, I don't wear glasses when I surf or skate. Adam Etzart.
What did he say?
Oh God, here we go.
What?
Oh, this is actually a great question.
Okay.
There's another question that I said. Oh my, yeah. Adam, thank you for the
Dude,
sticker
the
packs,
sick.
Right? They're so sick.
Go to Adam Metz. What's his, do you remember what his art thing is?
Adam.
What's his Instagram?
It's Adam ETZ Art.
Art. Go to
what
his Instagram.
What are your favorite board shorts out right now?
Ooh.
Mine may shock you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I got a pair of Salty Crew board shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they're comfortable.
I don't wear them.
You surf nude. I got those. I got some Vans board shorts that I really like. I got the, yeah.
I just wear the quick ones, but I'm paid to say that. Full disclosure.
I'm paid.
Do you ever get a pair of board shorts that you thought were going to be really great, and then you went somewhere with them, and they gave you the worst rash you've ever had?
Yeah. When you're in the tropical location, I know you don't wear board shorts in America often, but when you're in a tropical location, do you wear like undergarments?
Yeah, I wear like a
Beneath
pair
of, makes a pair of...
They do?
Yeah.
For real?
Garments, yeah. I know people. I can get you in some.
I look forward to going to a tropical place.
I want
to
support your nuts.
What?
I want to support your tropical nuts.
Hey, that reminds me. Last time we went to the BSR wave pool, we were in like full suits. I can't wait to go there.
And then and then short arms. We're going.
I know.
Soon.
I can't wait.
Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Dan Marsh. And you got to answer this one seriously. You got to think about this. Mm-hmm. This is the one I said, oh, God, here we go. What do you enjoy more, surfing or skating? You must choose one.
Now?
Right now, today.
Surfing.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt as much.
I'll tell you what. Skating to death.
You know, I'm a big fan of Rob Sluggo Boyce.
Oh, my God.
You know
who
that guy
ripping.
Is? So Sluggo has been skating this vert ramp outside of Vancouver that it's pretty much the dreamiest. It's an old school size vert ramp. I think it's like 9 foot trannies, a foot of vert, like the ramp that I grew up skating and, you know, that size when I was at my peak of performance.
Yep.
And it's this ramp in a vegetative state setting.
It's in Canada.
It's in Canada. It's in the trees. It's just surrounded by like greenery. And it looks so fun, Chris. Do you see those clips of Rob putting up? And every time he puts one up, I'm like, I can't get over this ramp. That is the dreamiest ramp I've ever seen in my life.
Super.
Anyways, but I look at that and I think about it makes me sad that I don't
skate vert
as much as I used to. And I have a problem with that. I look at old pictures and I feel like it's not even me.
I want to say that I surf and skate equally as much. But if I had to pick, I would probably pick surfing just because if I had to pick. I love them both, but if I had to pick, I would pick surfing.
I feel like if I go out and I skate...
Why'd you make me pick? Don't make me pick.
With surfing, you can do the minimum and have the maximum enjoyment. But with skating, I feel like if I went out and just did a carve on a bank, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, I think with skating, you actually have to do a trick.
Right.
I have to do a trick, whether it's a stupid trick or not. I have to do at least a trick to come away from the session feeling like, cool, I did something.
Right,
whereas
you
surfing,
push yourself.
I went surfing with my friend on Father's Day, and I don't even remember catching a wave, but it was a great time.
Yeah, like one turn.
Just floating around in the water with your buddy. Just, you know, playing grab ass between sets. It's fun.
Just playing grab ass in the water.
That's all the questions I have. Do you have any more?
Well, I had one. My buddy Andy Ryan submitted a question, but I feel like we already hit it. And his, I'll say what his question is just because Andy's a fucking
He's
G.
cool.
He's a G from back east.
I love you, Andy.
His question is, why are so few brands scared to make a stance when it comes to the racism and police brutality
Goofy
in America?
Foot. Oh, I'm sorry.
What are they afraid of? A brand defended their non-response in the comments of a post because they let their product speak for themselves, and then the comment was deleted. Some brands have made statements acknowledging their shortcomings and making honest remarks on how they are making change. Others, one may assume, are doing it for perception. In the bigger picture, as we all know, change is coming.
Right.
Can they afford not to take a stance against racism and inequality? I honestly don't think that they, I mean, you're going to get called on it.
Yep.
And I think that, I think there is a lot of just putting shit up because you think you have to.
Yeah.
Not like
Flip side of that, though, I see a lot of companies... Vans, for example, on the front page of their website, it explains their stance.
Mm-hmm.
WSL put out an Instagram post over the weekend, explains their stance. It tells you exactly where they stand, right? Mm-hmm. They support the Black Lives Matter movement. So I'm liking what I'm seeing there.
Mm-hmm.
Not
everyone's going to do it right. You know, not everyone's going to do it right.
These are challenging times. Oh, you know that, right?
It's just from
how long are these times going to be challenging?
This is like a challenge.
I want an easy time. I want to go a week and go, wow, that was an easy week.
Remember how crazy, like how crazy easy life was when all we were worried about was the impeachment inquiry.
Remember, like when the biggest drama ever was a bunch of people burning down like the festival grounds of Woodstock 2000. Because Limp Bizkit told him to burn it down.
Limp Bizkit told someone to burn something down?
Yeah. I miss Limp Bizkit telling people to burn stuff because that was a good, clean, fun.
Right? Just burn shit.
That was the biggest. All we had to do was just like get angry, rally against Limp Bizkit.
Remember Firefest? Oh, that was good.
And guess what? I just recently watched a concert of Limp Bizkit and I'll put my opinions out there front and center. I didn't mind it.
You like Fred Durst?
I think he can sing.
Sold a hell of a lot of DVS shoes.
He can sing, Todd.
Sell a shoe, too. Dave Mayhew loves...
Is that where we're going to end this?
Fred Durst.
Because I'll edit that out. If you think I should admit that
I think that you
hate Limp Bizkit.
Can we do... are we held accountable by...
Bizkitry?
Well, no. Like, if I play a song to take us out...
Does
that mean we're going to
I told my girlfriend this weekend if she became a full-blown, unironic juggalo, I would still love her.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. And I got numb, 10 out of 10.